Good Monday. This is the Chocolate Knox with your cross-politic daily news brief for Monday, December 14th, 2020. Hey, Merry Christmas. And you know what makes even a better Christmas? Waking up on Christmas morning with that sovereignty cross-politic roast inside of your beautifully etched Fight Laugh Feast tumbler. Tastes like resurrection victory. You should try some. Sign up now at crosspolitic.com. Anything above the first tier, and you get this lovely etched Fight Laugh Feast tumbler that's going to be so good with that sovereignty roast on Christmas morning. You can taste some of that resurrection glory yourself. Sign up now, crosspolitic.com. And if you want to send us news, you can do that to news@crosspolitic.com. That's news@crosspolitic.com. Surely you've already heard that the Supreme Court has rejected Texas's challenge to Biden's victory in the presidential election. Friday, Texas shot its shot and really lost, but they were trying to void out 20 million votes in the four other states, clearing a path for Joe Biden's victory when electors meet today in state capitals across the nation to cast their ballots. It'll probably look something like 306 votes for Mr. Biden and around 232 for the incumbent President Donald Trump. That's just a guesstimate. Texas, exercising the privilege states hold to file claims directly before the Supreme Court, accused Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin of violating their own state laws, thereby the Constitution, by adjusting absentee voting procedures to accommodate the surge in mail-in ballots from voters following public health guidelines during the coronavirus pandemic. In a brief order, the Supreme Court said that Texas lacked legal standing to bring the case. Texas has not demonstrated a judicial cognizable interest in the manner in which another state conducts its elections, the unsigned order said. Two justices, Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas, reiterated their previous stated view that the court is required to allow states to file cases before it, but they noted that they took no position on the Texas argument and wouldn't have blocked the Electoral College from meeting on Monday. Mr. Trump himself sought to intervene in the case and in a Friday tweet called on the Supreme Court of the United States to follow the Constitution and to do what everybody knows needs to be done. The Supreme Court's order indicated that Mr. Trump's motion, along with many others filed over the past 2 days, was moot. The Supreme Court really let us down. No wisdom, no courage. This ruling by the Supreme Court has many thinking that this is a pattern, that they're seeing a pattern, that courts aren't letting Trump's lawyers get a fair shake, or if they go to court, they're not getting a chance to present their opportunity, and they're just kind of getting kicked out before they have a chance to present their case. Well, the National Review's Andrew McCarthy kind of paints a bit of a different picture in what is actually going on in the courts, and he does this by way mainly of Wisconsin. And if you have the Fight Laugh Feast app, you can just click on this link right inside the notes and go to it. But if you don't have the Fight Laugh Feast app, I suggest that you go right now to your favorite app store, get the Fight Laugh Feast app so you can click on this article and review it with us all together. So Andrew asked, what happened in Wisconsin? Judge Ludwig, who is appointed by President Donald Trump, denied the state's claim that the campaign lacked standing. Good. Instead, he gave the campaign the hearing that they asked for, the opportunity to call witnesses and submit damning exhibits. Yet, when it got down to brass tacks, the morning of the hearing, it turned out that there was no actual disagreement between the Trump team and Wisconsin officials about the pertinent facts of the case. Huh. The president's counsel basically said, never mind. We don't need to present all the proof. We'll just stipulate to all the relevant facts and argue legal principle. Huh. In the end, Andrew continues, after all the heated rhetoric, what did they tell the courts that the case was really about? Just three differences over the manner in which the election was administered. To all of which, as Ludwig pointed out, the campaign could have objected before the election if these matters had actually been of great moment. Despite telling the court for weeks that this was the most rigged election in history, the campaign didn't think it was worth calling a single witness. Despite having the opportunity of a hearing before a Trump appointee who was willing to give the campaign ample opportunity to prove its case, the campaign said, never mind. Can't recommend this article enough. Again, go to the Fight Laugh Feast app, there's a link directly to this article. There has been some pushback to Andrew McCarthy's position in this, basically saying that Trump has decided to split out all the cases and say, okay, here's election fraud, here is through ballots, here is machine fraud, and here's proof that you didn't follow your own legislation and how you're supposed to conduct an election, you know, like you agreed to do inside of the Constitution. So, and also, we just had a lovely guest on by the name of Margot Cleveland. If you get a chance, go find her latest article on The Federalist. Has the Supreme Court failed the Constitution? We had her on the show today. It was phenomenal. The lady's loaded, and she knows how to articulate her point with some fire. Great guest, great interview, and a great article, kind of giving a little pushback to McCarthy. I wish we can get all the reasonable thinking people in the room together so I can just get some facts. You know what I'm talking about? I know what you're thinking right now to yourself. You're thinking, I would love to have myself a Fight Laffy shirt. You know, you can get one of those. All you have to do is go to rowdychristian.com and you can get shirts, hats, hoodies, post-meal coffee. Did I talk about the coffee for Christmas? I think I might have. In that nice little etched mug. You can get it there. Also, did you hear we started a brand new magazine? You can get that too. 4 subscriptions, $40. FightLaughFeast.com. As I am currently recording, members of the Electoral College are convening in state capitals throughout the nation today to formally vote for Joe Biden as the next president of the United States, even if Trump continues to tweet that he actually won the election. Following the gatherings, which will continue throughout the day, Biden plans to address the nation. Trump has not planned a public event yet, but continues to tweet grievances about the election, which he claims Sunday is under protest. Here's what we know so far. Already, 5 of the states where Trump contests his defeat, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, have cast their electoral votes for Biden. Trump has signaled that he continues to challenge the results of the 2020 election even after Electoral College meets to cast votes solidifying Biden's victory. Congressional negotiators are closing in on a $1.4 trillion omnibus spending deal to ward off government shutdowns on Friday at midnight, crossing off one of the major priorities of the legislative agenda and adding further urgency around the inclusion of coronavirus aid in a year-end package. Lawmakers could announce an omnibus compromise as soon as today, with legislative text expected Tuesday. Congressional leaders and appropriators have labored over the last week to reach a compromise on major omnibus sticking points, including cash for President Donald Trump's border wall. And how to classify $12.5 billion in veteran health spending amid opposition from Republicans who've been averse to deeming that money as emergency spending outside of the strict budget caps. A stimulus deal, if it can be reached, would be the biggest addition by far to any spending package. A bipartisan group of lawmakers is pushing a $908 billion economic rescue bill, the details of which will be unveiled later Monday. In a desperate bid to reach agreement, lawmakers decide over the weekend to split their proposal into two pieces. Oh, gooey. Carving out the most contentious items, money for local government and liability protection for business, into separate bills. The other bill, with $748 billion price tag, would include broadly bipartisan funding for schools and health care. I say, how about you just give me all my money and I take care of myself and educate my own kids. You ever feel like a bone sometime in between two dogs? That's what that feels like. Seattle. If you live in Seattle, why? The Seattle City Council is considering changing the criminal code so that criminals who have committed trespassing, theft, or even simple assault could be exempt from prosecution if they can prove that their survival depended on their criminal acts. Wow. Council member Lisa Harbold, somebody who you probably don't want on your city council anymore, the King County's director of the Department of Public Defense, introduced the idea of changing the criminal code. Thanks, Lisa. If approved, the ordinance would excuse and dismiss and pretty much essentially legalize almost all misdemeanor crimes committed in Seattle by offenders who could show symptoms of addictions without being required to prove medical diagnosis. Symptoms of medical disorder or poverty, and the crime was committed as an attempt for their basic immediate needs. For example, if a defendant argued that they stole the merchandise to sell for cash in order to buy food or clothing, or basically was trying to scrap together some money for their rent, yeah, they could pretty much not be convicted and get off. The advocate's proposal covers all misdemeanor crimes except DUIs and domestic violence. Well, why stop there? Come on. I was driving drunk because I was thinking about the fact that I didn't have rent money. I, Your Honor, I was beating her because we was broke. And so that's why I went upside her head. I mean, really, why be arbitrary all of a sudden and stop there? One of the city council members said, in a situation where you took that sandwich because you were hungry and you were trying to meet your basic need of satisfying your hunger, as a community, we all know what that's like, and we all know that shouldn't be punished. I got to tell you, this city council, man, they are bold. And I'm wondering why we don't be more bold and more biblical and say, no, if they stole something, they should pay it back. And if they don't have to pay it back, they should actually work it off, because that's what the Bible says. If they're going to be that bold, we should be just as bold. You can find this and all of our shows at crosspolitic.com or on our Fight Laugh Feast app. Don't forget, support Rowdy Christian Media. Become a Fight Laugh Feast Club member and get your very own Fight Laugh Feast tumbler. Hold up. It tastes so good. Listen. And you can get a t-shirt with the tumbler. And access to all of the talks at the first annual Fight Laugh Feast Conference, as well as many exclusive behind-the-scenes videos with Vody Bachum, Tom Askell, Eric Erickson, Sho Baraka, all the East Coast tour stuff that we did at the beginning of the year. It is great content if you haven't seen it. And you can get the Worldview Shotgun series. Go to FightLaughFeast.com and enjoy